have been to BBS Radio Online. This is the Wednesday call. We are still we have the door open for those people who join in over the conference phone line. We have somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Hello, Susan. Welcome to the call. And two more people or three more people came in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Ron in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Hi, Ron. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
This is Donna in Kingman.
Hello, Donna. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi, it's Valerie in Half Moon Bay, California.
The family is complete. Welcome to the call, Valerie.
Thank you.
It's Daphne with Valerie in Half Moon Bay, California.
Hello, Daphne. How are you doing? All right. Half Moon Bay.
Yes, and I just gave about Valerie some moon pie.
All right. Let's see. I think we have an... Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Michael, Water Leak, New York.
Hi, Michael. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Kathy from Rockland.
Hi, Kathy. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
For being here. You some background noise? Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, Stephen Flagstaff.
Hey, Steve. How's your eye?
It's wonderful.
All right.
I mean, really, it's amazing how well that operation works.
Fantastic. I'm glad to hear that, man.
I found out that all that snow that was outside, instead of being pale yellow, was actually white.
All right. You see true colors now. Good evening. Welcome to the call, please. Name and location.
Hi, this is Cindy in Peoria. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thanks.
All right. And then welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Teddy from the
car. Yeah, hi, Teddy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Gary and Renata from Los Angeles. Hi,
hello. How are you doing, Gary?
Just fine. Glad to hear your voice.
All right. Hi, Greta.
Hi.
All right. Thanks for being here. We had another few people come in. Dr. Colby, say your name and location.
Gary in Redondo Beach.
Hi, Gary. How are you doing? Hello, Susan.
Hello.
Welcome to the call. All right. Are there more people who want to announce themselves? Feel free to do so if you haven't done so.
Hi, this is Kim in Florida. How
are
you doing?
Who's this in Florida?
It's Kim.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for being here.
Guys, can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear, Wynn. And I was going to go find your landlord, but she has just arrived, I guess. Terry.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Sure. Hi. More people have joined in. Welcome, everybody. Please say your name.
Hi, this is Don from Rexville. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Suzanne from Columbus.
Oh, Suzanne, this is the third Suzanne tonight. How are you, Suzanne?
We got the memo. Thanks.
It's good evening. Welcome to the. Say your name and location.
Jeff from Los Angeles.
Hello. Welcome to the call. And actually, no. I think the other two are Susan instead of Suzanne. All right. Pamela Brown and Pamela Free. Not live on BBS.
I hope the music isn't too loud, those of you that are listening on BBS. It's
It sounds like a music here on the phone line, Don.
You can't tell on the phone because the volume is different than the air. That's the problem.
Good evening, Rock. Oh, Mike.
Greetings.
How do you do?
Nice. Thank you. Good, thank you.
All right.
A few minutes before I have to run out, so I thought I'd listen in for a bit.
All right, thanks for being here, man. Is your PC down right now?
You know what? It just went down because I thought it was plugged in, and it wasn't. So it's plugged in. I'm just turning it on. Problem is, I think every night before we call, I put together.
Still a chance for those who just in to announce yourself. First of all, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Claire in New Jersey.
Good evening, Claire. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Claire, do you have a good joke for us?
Not right now.
Not right now. Not one of those nice times.
And to my people joined in, welcome to the call. Please say your location.
Patrick from Santa Cruz.
Hello, welcome to the call.
Hey, it's Brian in Laguna Beach.
Good evening, Brian. Welcome to the call.
Hi, it's Faith in East Hampton.
Faith? Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Is that Faith Libet?
Yes.
Faith? See that? I get to know everyone's last name.
Very good.
You are
okay, Win.
You are not anonymous.
Good.
Now, I try to be anonymous.
Right.
I think we're ready, guys, huh?
You're not serious, right?
I mean, I'm not ready. That's right. I forgot. The world.
All right.
Is muted.
And, you know what? Let me just get on Skype, because I like Skype better.
Yes, this doesn't sound too good, actually. So, it's good for a backup. Oh, oops.
Hold on a moment. Terry, are you there?
Hello? Yes, I'm here.
I'm so glad you're there.
Yes.
You got me nervous.
I show up.
You show up.
Yes.
Me too. And so does Hyde. And you know what? The people on our line, you guys, are starting to get it. Nothing happens here except we show up and energy shifts. And that's kind of cool because then, you know what? That's another way of saying what Jesus said. He said, it's not me that does it, it's the God that works through me. How does he say it, Terry?
Pardon?
How did Jesus say that, you know?
How did I say what?
How did Jesus say, it's not me, it's the God that works through me? But that's not exactly how it was said. Something like that.
Yeah.
You were a Sunday school teacher, right?
I was, yes. Let's see, that's stored in a different part of my brain.
Oh, it is?
Oh, not by home.
getting in touch there. Well, it doesn't matter.
This service is provided by preconferencing.com. Access code accepted. There are 47 participants in this conference.
Can't hear you. You're very much very far in the background.
When?
Speak up.
When? We can't hear you.
You sound like you're at the neighbors.
Okay, that's better, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we got everything working. And the only thing that's not working is having all my questions for the day.
Okay.
Which,
shall I start with the recording?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Are we all ready to record?
Yes.
No, we're not ready, but we'll never be ready. So, okay, start recording. We're ready.
Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
Welcome, everybody. It is December 19th, 2012, and this is Winfrey and Terry Brown in Sedona, Arizona, and people all over the world on this line listening on the internet and on the telephone. And I was just making a comment, which I haven't fully resolved. The right term, but I was talking about Jesus. I've said this, that we just show up and things happen. We let it happen and we show up. So the experience from my end is that we're not doing anything. Well, we're going through the motions. We're answering questions. I'm talking. How can I say it? We say hello to everybody. We have fun at the beginning. But the truth of the matter is, it's like it's not exactly happening, except other than showing up. And then while we show up during the course of this interaction, energy shifts. You shift, I shift, we all shift. And truthfully, I'm not doing it. And you're not doing it. It happens. And I was thinking that Jesus said something. It's not me that does these things, but the Father that works through me. And in a sense, that is what I'm saying when we're just showing up and things happen. Because we're not changing these energies. It's happening because we have these sources that we've been communicating with and asking how this works, and they explain that they can be present with us in this physical world in a way that we can feel them, in a way that they can support our intentions, and that we're all learning how to how to do this, including especially me. But me, Terry, Daphne, we're learning how to deal with our human side, because I think one of the things on these calls is that our human sides are very present. We're all pretty transparent. There's nowhere to hide. There's no pretense, and yet things keep happening. And if you're new and listening, for the first time, or a new listener, like, let me see here, Jen Benke in Minnesota. Hi, Jen. She just said, just to let you know, I'm listening on PBS. Hi, Jen. I'm reading my emails. And I'm learning more and more how to multitask, how to be on the call, read my emails, remember to get Terry unmuted, and formulate all the questions.
Ben, you're a little bit the microphone.
Too close to the microphone?
Yes.
Okay. Is that better now?
Yes.
Okay. So tonight, just before I came on, I was on, and then my computer went off because the battery went dead, and I lost all my questions. I formulated all the questions that you guys have sent in, so I'm just putting them together back again now that I got my computer up. And in the meantime, we're going to ask some questions from last week because there's a lot of unasked questions from last week, and I'm going to ask them again. Because last week, I tended to talk a long time. So, Terry, you're there, correct?
I'm here.
Yeah, okay. And I'm going to call in the light, and it is only 7:15. We could do worse. And, you know, some people say, why don't you just start out? Why don't you just do this? But you know what? We have to make ourselves present. I have to make myself present. Terry has to make ourselves present. We have to do whatever ablutions. You know what that word means, Terry?
No.
You don't?
No.
just checking.
Even the Elohim use words I don't understand sometimes.
Well, when Terry started bringing through messages, they were complaining. They said, you need to get a bigger vocabulary. And actually, Terry does have a pretty big vocabulary. But they wanted her to learn 5 new words a day. But ablutions means the preliminaries before you do something. Like if you're going out to dinner, the ablutions might be shaving, taking a shower, putting on nice clothes, all those things, ablution. I think that's what it means. And so when we're going to do a session like this, we have to do the ablutions, the things we need to do to make ourselves present. And it's not magic. Some people think that, and I can understand how you can think this, that I can just go tap Terry on the shoulder and say, what do they think about this? And she's going to say, they think this about this. And they don't realize that every time we do a session, even if I want to ask one question, we have to create a zone. Even if it's just Terry and myself, we have to get out of all the other energies that are upon us and create a zone. And we can't be in that zone all day. We could actually, and if somebody sent us enough money so we didn't have to worry about money, and so just be in the zone, we could do that. But we have lots of things to coordinate, which means getting in the zone has to be a special thing. And every time we go on these calls, we have to get in the zone. And that's one of the reasons sometimes you guys are impatient, but why there's a preamble to help us, and to help you, and to help the energies become present. And some of you are very sophisticated spiritually and metaphysically, some of you. And some of you are not so sophisticated. And do you know, it's not your level of sophistication that's going to cause you to graduate this realm. It's not your level of metaphysical knowledge. It's your ability to be in your heart and generate love. And some people think they do that when they don't, because they're so smart, they think because they're smart, they're doing it. But their smartness can get in their way of doing it, can get in their way because, now I have to say, when I was younger, I used to do this. I used to feel superior to other people because I was a smart kid. And underneath it, really, underneath my smartness, I was insecure. I was unworthy. All these things. But I didn't want to face those things. So I just said, I'm smart, and I'm smarter than most other people, and that makes me worthy. The truth of the matter is, it was a false worthiness. It wasn't real worthiness. And sometimes people that have less knowledge, that are more simple in their complexities of how they understand everything, are actually holding a higher energy than people that can talk circles around you, and that when they hear this information, they resonate with it, even when they never heard it before. Because you see, there's wanderers all through this planet, millions and millions of beings that came in from higher dimensions to be here. And if you keep coming back to these calls and you wonder if you're a wanderer, I would say the chances are very high that if you're listening to these calls, you're a wanderer. Because the appeal of what we do reaches those people from higher dimensions. And that doesn't mean you had to be metaphysically savvy at all before you heard us, because it just starts to resonate, and the resonance starts to awaken you. And people that are not wanderers, you can, I'm sure many of you have experienced this, you can talk yourself blue about things, and you know they're true, and they don't hear you. Their ears, they just don't hear you. They just hold on for dear life to whatever reality system they have, and they won't pay attention to this kind of work. So, very important to get out of your mind, get into your hearts. If you're in your mind, learn to use your mind as a vehicle of communication, not as a vehicle for looking down on people. And if you're one of those people that comes into the calls and says, when is Wynn going to say something really profound? When is he going to talk to the Elohim? You're missing a really big point, and that is the beginning parts of these calls, we are putting the energies together. And those people that are more highly evolved are learning that their job is to help hold the energy together for the people. And I even shouldn't say more highly evolved, because that creates an illusory of hierarchy. Those people who have learned to stabilize their energies and being in the center of their being, and some of those are the people that just come into our calls and they learn it on our calls, but those people who have learned that start holding for the other people. You see, our energies are coming together on this call. It's not me entertaining you. That's just the illusion. You are part of the energy of this call, every single person. And if you're being impatient for me to get to the meat of the call, there is no meat. It's appetizers. And the beginning of the call is the appetizers, and it just keeps going. And when the call ends, the call doesn't really end. It's an illusion that it ends, because our sources say, I'm sure you've heard this, we leave, but we do not leave. What does that say? This is all an illusion of coming together so we can remember, reintegrate ourselves. And it may look like entertainment. It may look like Wynn is funny. It may look like Terry is shy. But those are all, that's the stage. We're on a stage. Life is a stage. You're all on the stage. And the truth of it is, it's me meeting me in you, and you meeting you in me, and that we are aimed towards finding that place where we are we as an experience, not as a belief. And many of you know that that experience does come in on these calls. And it's very hard to explain when it happens. It's not linear. It's like explaining to a blind man what vision is like. And Terry, are you moving around back there?
Yeah, sorry.
It's a good thing we're not syndicated to a million people. Of course, if we were, we'd probably have time to get ready, spend 2 hours in advance, get relaxed. Then maybe we probably go through less integration time. But nonetheless, it is the way it is. And believe it or not, it's working. And the emails we get from you are amazing. And you validate for me and for Terry. I always share those with Terry. You validate that it's working. And it's what keeps us going. So we have some questions for tonight. I'm going to call in the light. I hope I can find the questions that people sent in. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, everyone on this line, and that any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating in the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And would our sources like to say something before we start?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you who wishes our presence. And we are a free will agency, so we do not intrude where one is shy or one does not wish us to enter into their sphere. And we are available to each and every one of you. This is a sacred moment in time when we are able to connect. Do you have questions?
We do, and I hope I'm still here. Can you hear me, guys?
Yes.
Yes, okay. All right. The first question is from Carol in Anchorage, Alaska. And she asks, supposedly when we pass over, family members are immediately there to meet and greet us. Is this true? And maybe I should say, is this true in all cases or some cases? And how does that work? And we know it's true in some cases because we've been told that. And if so, what if you have family members that were of a lower vibration and you do not want them there at such a time? What happens?
Thank you. What an interesting question. In the higher realms, there are connections made which are vibrational connections. So if you do not wish another there, then it is intrusive for that person to connect. And if you do not wish that person there, then there is the likelihood that they do not also wish to be there. Things operate very fast meet the higher frequencies. So when the frequencies of the individuals, the soul signatures, are in harmony, then they connect easily. When they are not in harmony, there is a resistance to connecting, which creates more of a barrier which neither person wishes to violate. If one within the family is of a lower vibration, it is unlikely that they would have made it into the higher realm. And so without that high vibration, they will not be able to be there and to meet with you in any event. We hope that sheds some light on this. There is more. Give us a moment. There are different levels at the higher realms, and one, according to their purpose and their past and their soul contract, moves into the area which they are going. Sometimes someone of a lower vibration is in that lifetime to trigger growth, and that is kept more within that lifetime, and they do not, those individuals of the lower vibrations do not track to the higher vibrations. We hope that helps.
A couple questions come to mind. If number one, let's suppose somebody has a vendetta towards you. They put a curse on you, or they want revenge, and they're trying to do it in the physical. When those two people are in the other realms, can they still interact? Can that person still create psychic damage or something to the person that they are in conflict with?
The person that is sending the curse is not likely to be able to move into the higher realm. Is there are material things that they are using to anchor themselves and to depend upon. They then cannot move past that and into the higher realm. So they are unlikely to meet you in the higher realm. Now, if one passes over and the other is still in the earthly realm, it is possible that that person with motive that is evil can continue as if it is a hook that they can hold on to and anchor with and to use for control. And they may move into a lower realm yet than the earth realm, at which time their energies will be corralled by the negative and used then for the negative's own purposes. And they may run into much growth about experiencing the effect of things that they have tried to put onto others.
Thank you. And I got an email from James McGee. He says, the reason these calls work like they do is because you left everything in the hands of the universe and the universe knows what it's doing. My opinion only, but I'm sticking to it. I've put it in the hands of the higher universe because there's a lot of negative forces that would like to get in here and screw it up. We have a question from Wilbert Stevenson, and I think this is a funny question. I answered him directly in the email, and but I will give it to our sources as well. Whenever the question is asked about why the Elohim do not make themselves visible on Earth and communicate directly with us, the answer is usually they did so in the past and people treated them as gods and worshipped them, which they do not want to happen. That was then, this is now. Some humans have spiritually evolved to the point where we fully understand our relationship with the Elohim and will not regard them as gods to be worshipped. So why don't they make themselves visible to us who have an appropriate understanding of our relationship with that to them and would not regard them as gods to be worshipped? Now, what I told Wilbert is that throughout the course of history, the negative has appeared to people whenever in religions, and whenever there was a truly positive religion, shortly thereafter, the negative would come in and say, "Hi, we're the same guys. This is God, though I spoke to Jesus, or this is so-and-so who spoke to someone else." And people can't tell the difference. And they think that because they hear a voice in their heads, or even I don't know if they see a physical vision, but they hear a voice in their heads or a physical vision, it's very hard to have the tools to figure out what's positive and what's negative. And most people would feel so honored that a source came down and talked to them that they would lose their discernment. I mean, if a source said, "Hi, we're the Elohim," how would you react? Luckily, I must have had enough experience in other lifetimes that when this happened for me, I said, "I'm going to test this. How do I know they are who they say they are?" And I did for a couple of years, but most people wouldn't. And the other thing about this, and this came through the Ra group, we know that, or we think it's in our information that in Egypt, 10,000 BC, the Ra group actually manifested bodies that people could see. And it did not work out well. In fact, they were doing miracles. They built pyramids by levitation. And the priesthood of Egypt took over what they did and made it negative. And it became the beginning of what many people call the Illuminati or the secret societies today. All of Egypt was under the spell of negative gods. They were doing sacrifices. They were controlling the masses. They kept the secrets private. And that was not the intention of the Ra group. And again, even with Jesus, I believe there was some connection between the miracles of Jesus, assuming they happened, and the Ra group. And that the Ra group said, it doesn't work to do miracles, it doesn't work to do that because people give up their power, they prostrate themselves. And that the best way to make connection was to make people curious. And if people were curious, they reached back. And in the reaching back, there would be energy transfer back and forth. And I studied that, and I said, I can see how that works. I can see that's right. And I kind of adopted it, where on these calls, most of you have reached back because you heard me, and my story was so interesting that you said to yourself, I wonder what's going on with that guy. And when you reached back, then it became the opportunity for an energy transfer. But with me saying that, I'll turn it over to our sources to give their take on this particular question. I mean, see, the illusion is they could just sit down and say, hi, we're the Elohim, and we're going to save your whole planet, and everything's going to be fine. But then say, why they don't do that. Because I think if they thought it was going to work, they would.
Thank you. There are two things here. One of them is that we, as Ba'an, are components of the Elohim group and of the Ba group and the Ra group, are the ones that have previously had bodies and therefore are prone to come back into bodies or in the time of Egypt to appear to people in their beautiful golden hair bodies. And they found, as Lynn was saying, that it did not work. And then there are components of the Elohim here, and we have our own definite reasons. We do not wish to come in to Earth as a body or a number of bodies because we are ourselves, and we do not wish to take on the otherness of a body, and we find bodies are very localized, which we observe by observing the people who allow themselves a wish to be observed or communicated with. We find that they are a very localized phenomena, and they cannot see 360 degrees around them. They cannot travel instantaneously with their body from one place to another. They cannot expand at a rapid rate and contract at a rapid rate to see the circumstance they are wishing to see. They do not even know that these abilities exist. They cannot move through walls. And we do not wish to become localized. In being non-localized, we have the ability to manifest at whatever point in space or time we wish without taking the body form. We just, at this moment, attempted to mock up a body form for us to inhabit, and it seemed very, very funny and very odd to us. We are able to lend our knowledge and our support and our loving ability. We have an immense ability to love because we are non-localized, and we do not project into a body that is so linear, and we have an ability to have this free range of emotion at the higher end of emotion, the love, the cheerfulness, the ability to bring joy and to dissolve locks wherein locks are in place that prevent an individual from moving into the higher realms of emotion and keep them stuck in anger or sadness. We have an ability, if the person desires it and is open, to help them to release those locks.
Historically, there's times when people have said they've seen angels, and angels are, I believe, connected to the Elohim group. When people see angels, are they seeing visions in their mind? Or do those beings that we call angels connected to the Elohim, are they able to make themselves visible to the physical eye if they choose to?
If an individual has the ability to see above the range of normal perception, they can indeed see angels, and angels do indeed visit very often. From the angelic realm, we do not even have, in the higher realm of the Elohim, do not even have we have the disposition of the angels, but we do not have the body form of the angels. As we look at the heavenly realm with the angelic embodiment, he is again being localized, and we could borrow one of those localized forms, but we generally do not even embody into an angelic form, although we do carry the angelic energy.
Thank you. Next question is from Itar Dinam. Maybe he's Indian, okay? Because he has a question that relates to Indian gods. And there were many Indian gods. Krishna, I believe, was Indian. Vishnu. Who else? I don't remember all the names. Not the Egyptian gods, but the Indian gods. And his question is, they are, in pictures, they are blue. It is believed in some of the most amazing, powerful, and mysterious things, such as the sky and the ocean, are blue. And the inventors of the religion perceive blue to be a color symbolizing power and superiority, and saw that it would be appropriate for their gods to be of this color, representative of their superiority to all that is on earth. Is this perception any close to truth? And can you explain why all those gods in the present day pictures are blue?
Give us a moment. We see that in the movement into the realm above the human, but below the higher realm, there are masters that have affected much of human history. We see that blue is a higher frequency of color than some of the other colors, and blue is the color of some of the higher chakras, with indigo being a mixture of that has blue in it, and the throat chakra having blue in this area, and we do not see. We take a look at those masters that he's been mentioned. We do not look at them as gods, except in the perception of the individual that are perceiving them as such. They have become sacred and assigned those attributes by the realm, the earth realm, and the in between, and it is an attempt by assigning them blue to move the individual up into his higher chakras so that they would be closer to being able to connect with the masters, when they assign them the color of blue, these individual gods, quote, gods in quote, have the colors of blue and spiritualness in their aura, and so this has also, and one of the reasons that they have been colored as blue, it is a higher frequency. As when you look at the spectrum and you move into the ultraviolet and the blue and the upper ranges of perception in the area of colors, there is blue in that area. So that in the visual, in looking at these masters, can reach toward them more easily if they are thinking of the color blue.
Thank you. Now, we have learned that many of those beings that have been identified as gods actually come from lower levels, maybe even ET alien levels, and that have been interpreted as gods because of their sophistication, their technology, their ability to do what appear to be miracles. So, for example, some of those Egyptian gods, and maybe even Greek gods, were of those lower, and some of them were even service to self. Is that the category of some of these Hindu gods, if you want to answer that? You know, we don't want to discredit people that are using certain religions and maybe making connection. So if you feel clear on answering that.
We do not wish to discredit any one of those Hindu gods, as each one has its own place and purpose. And the connection with them for the people who it is so important to is a sacred connection, and it helps with those individuals grow and helps them to be anchored in a difficult world.
Thank you. This is a question from Margaret Highland in Auckland, New Zealand. And Margaret has guides. She has beings that talk to her. And she was going to the hospital, and she was getting a lot of reinforcement from her guides about what she was doing. And it didn't work out well. And I'll read her question. In November, I was admitted to the emergency cardiac part of the hospital as a doctor was concerned about my long periods of angina pain. I was on the waiting list for a CT scan, but now could go straight to a CT scan and possible artery widening procedure. After 10 diabolical days in the hospital, with 3 positive signs from my spiritual guide, I underwent this procedure and 2 attempts in one day, and now a month later, I find myself in a worse state of continued angina pain. And my guide was there, but what happened? All this preparation and doing my best to cope for months leading up to now equals a step closer to transition. Is this the plan then? Thanks, even if this is too late. That's from Margaret in Auckland, New Zealand.
Thank you. We look at each lifetime as a chapter in the whole, and your guides similarly also do. It was not meant to turn out badly. Give us a moment. The prognosis of difficulty is difficult, a situation difficult to treat without always success. We suggest that you look within your desires and see if there is anything within your desires that finds life overburdened, finds life difficult, and sees the other side as a relief. We use words, and the words do not always totally express the concept. So we hope we have conveyed to look within your own feelings and see in your connection to your life, what are the joys? What are the things that bring you happiness and connection with other people? And then weigh this against the difficulties and see if you have the motivation for moving through the cardiac situation into total healing. How would that make you feel? And in your life, what is it that gives you the desire and the joy and the connection to wish to stick around? Or is there a connection through your guides to the other side that thinks of this as some relief or a way to go? In other words, to weigh your motivations and your true feelings. And if your motivations are to stick around with joy and to work with the body that you have, then we send you a concept of the moving through some of the difficulties that you have with your body now. This is a work in progress, and so please report back to us.
Thank you very much. And it's 7:58, and thank you so much for being here and answering our questions. And I'm going to close this call. I just got an email from Gabriel. And since we just sent a thing out on our pendants today, I thought I'd read his comment, that some of you are like on the edge about whether to get one or not. It was the Etheric Flow Model B within 30 seconds of wearing this very beautiful piece.
And I love the chain as well. I could feel what I call little electrical storms in my brain, awakening cells, so to speak. It was very similar to what Grace does to our frozen constructs as she loosens things up for a better flow. Only when it is Grace that does this, I can always see her spark. Although it is certainly a beautiful alchemical design, it's a beautiful piece of art as well. It is much brighter and beautiful in person in real time than the picture on your site implies. Thank you very much for making this available to us, and thank you, Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is a very sensitive person, and not everyone may get that immediate response to it, but so many different people have had amazing testimonials. And on that note, we're going to say goodbye to everybody. Thank you to all our volunteers. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Daphne, who's not here. Thank all of you for showing up and making this incredible interaction between dimensions possible by holding the energy for it on this line. And remember, Friday night, we're doing our December 21st public grid healing, so invite your friends. And there's a website up, 21numerals.intelligent-infinity.com. And we'll see you next time.
Unmuted.
When Daphne's
actually... It is your time to laugh and abundance.
Thank you.
Daphne is there. Hi, Daphne.
Were discovered and arbitrarily classified by those metaphysicians of the past.
Muted.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, Marilyn. Hi, Daphne.